Flashcards. Some people love them, some people hate them. The goal of Hacking Chinese is to go beyond black and white and figure out how things work so we can get the most out of them. Hello and welcome to the Hacking Chinese podcast. In this week's episode, we are going to wrap up the discussion of flashcards and how to best use them as a learner of Chinese. I think it's a good idea to listen to the previous two episodes in the series before you listen to this one, but if you're short on time and don't want to do that right now, I will summarize briefly what we talked about, but do refer to those episodes for the in-depth discussion. So in the first part of the series, which was episode 173, we talked about the pros of using flashcards to learn Chinese. We saw that there were many benefits of using flashcards for learning Chinese, and that they are very efficient for learning certain aspects of the language, such as handwriting. No other method will allow you to learn so many words or characters so quickly with so little effort, while still being fairly confident that you will remember most of what you've learned. Then, in the next part of this series, we flipped the coin and looked at the drawbacks of using flashcards, and that was in episode 175. The main downside with flashcards is that they isolate and simplify the language to a point where many of the skills you need to actually use Chinese proficiently in real life are not actually practiced. For example, knowing characters in your flashcard app does not equate to a good reading ability in Chinese, and being able to recognize spoken words in isolation doesn't transfer well to real-world listening either. So, given the many flaws of using flashcards to learn Chinese, why don't we just do the real thing? Why don't we just listen, speak, read and write instead? Wouldn't that be much better? Can't you learn Chinese without using flashcards? Of course you can. I think it's safe to say that most people who become proficient in Chinese haven't relied on flashcards that much, or maybe not at all. And that's probably true even if we don't count native speakers, who rarely use flashcards at all. The only serious alternative to flashcards is large amounts of comprehensible input paired with some meaning-focused communication. And I'll get back to this later in this episode, because these are things you should do even if you're using flashcards, so this is not an either-or situation. The point here is that many of the benefits of flashcards that we talked about in part 1 in this series can be replicated using other methods. So if you think about it, listening and reading are both forms of spaced repetition. You review words because you see them over and over, and they are spread out in time, so the reviews are spaced out. The difference between doing this in a text that you're reading or in a passage that you're listening to is, of course, that they are not systematically spaced out. And that is important if you want to guarantee that you learn something or be very confident that you remember most of the things that you have learned, but it is not a requirement. Reading and listening are also much less efficient than flashcards because you end up seeing things you don't actually need to review, for example, common words you will see over and over. But this is a good thing, not a bad thing, because when you're using a language, it not only matters if you can recall something or if you know how to say something, but also how quickly you can do that. So seeing the more common words more often, making your recall of those faster, is very beneficial. It's not just about remembering or not remembering. Reading and listening are the foundation of speaking and writing as well, but in order for that to transfer, you need to read and listen a lot, much, much more than most learners are willing to do. One reason for this is that passive recognition is a worse way of reviewing something than active recall. So if you see a word printed on the page, that is not a very good way of reviewing it if you also want to be able to write it yourself, especially not if you're going to write it by hand. However, you don't have to use flashcards for this. You can just communicate in the language. When you speak, you need to retrieve words actively so you can use them, and the same goes when you are writing. So, native speakers don't need flashcards to learn commonly used vocabulary in their native language because they listen and read so much, and they also use Chinese to communicate both in speaking and writing all the time. So in essence, they have such a rich and varied diet of Chinese that there is no need for supplements in the form of flashcards. If they do use flashcards to learn Chinese, it's probably in a very specific area. Maybe if they go to medical school and need to memorize a ton of professional terminology or something like that. So of course you can learn Chinese without using flashcards, but the real question here is if you should, because flashcards, as we have seen earlier in this series, do bring a lot of benefits, and efficiency is one of the most important ones. It's also important to realize that your learning situation is likely very different from that of a native speaker growing up with Chinese. So their doing well without flashcards isn't necessarily all that relevant for you as an adult foreigner learning Chinese. Sure, if you can put your life on hold for a few years, so stop working, cancel all social commitments and so on, and instead invest all your energy in Chinese immersion, this will be great for your Chinese, but I think it goes without saying that for a vast majority of adults, this is not an option. A good example of this is writing characters by hand, which children in China learn largely without flashcards and spaced repetition, simply because they use characters all the time and they spend endless hours writing characters all throughout their school years. So the correct question to ask here is not if that can be done, because yes, of course it can be done. The question is this the best method for me? And for most people, the answer is going to be no. Flashcards will offer much more bang for your buck in terms of learning to write characters by hand. And then we have a separate topic, of course, do you even need to write characters by hand in a modern society? And I'm not going to go into details in that discussion here, but I will put links in the description as usual if you want to read or listen to me talking about those topics. As I've argued before, learning to write Chinese characters by hand is probably one of the best applications of flashcards. It relies on most of the advantages while staying clear of most of the disadvantages. The goal in this episode is to help you figure out what role flashcards should play in your strategy for learning Chinese. And then, as I just said, if learning to write characters by hand is important to you, then you probably should use flashcards for that. And I'm saying probably here because I want to talk about areas where you should consider using flashcards. And then if you end up doing that and how much you rely on flashcards to learn these things depend on other factors that I will cover a little bit later in this episode. But first, let's go through some areas where I think it makes sense to at least consider using flashcards. And the first one is as a stepping stone to more reading. Because one of the major challenges when learning to read in Chinese is the large number of unknown characters and words. Before I reached a decent level of reading comprehension in Chinese, I used flashcards a lot to boost my passive understanding of vocabulary. And this was not the end goal, it was merely as a stepping stone to then being able to read more texts. Using a flashcard app to reinforce your ability to read characters and read words in Chinese is also very fast compared to reviewing almost anything else. If you know the words decently well, you spend maybe a second per card, and then sometimes there will be cards you forget that you need to spend more time on. But you can do this very quickly, and it doesn't need to take up a lot of your time. So to be clear here, the goal here is to use flashcards as a stepping stone to reading. It is not to learn everything there is to know about a word using the app. It's just to learn the basic meaning so that when you encounter this in an authentic text, for example, you know at least what it means, and that is usually enough to figure out what the text means, if you also pair this with lots of reading. And this is something I will get back to over and over because it is so important. You don't do only flashcards, so in this case it has to be paired with large amounts of reading. That's how you learn how the words are used in different contexts, and that's also how you figure out grammar, which other words usually go together with this word, and so on. This is applicable on different levels. So for example, if you know only 50 characters, there will be almost no text you can find, and certainly no authentic text, that you can read without looking things up all the time. And reading Chinese at this level will feel much like deciphering a code. But if you use flashcards to boost your vocabulary just a little bit, you will gain access to graded readers and many other interesting things you can read. And this is true for more advanced students as well. There's a big difference between knowing 1,000 and 2,000 characters and associated words. And while it is possible to tailor a path from 1,000 characters up to 2,000 characters that involves no flashcards and where you don't have to use a dictionary all the time, finding the right texts that are both interesting and at exactly the right level is going to be very tricky. Let's move on to area number two, where you should consider using flashcards. And that is something we've already mentioned, namely to write characters by hand. We already discussed this, so I will keep it brief, but start by asking yourself how important handwriting is for you. And I would recommend normally that most students should learn a core set of vocabulary and how to write that by hand, but that in general you don't need more than that because, well, handwritten characters for communicative purposes are rather rare and you will have access to a dictionary in most real-life situations where you need to write by hand. Still, if you need to be able to write by hand or simply want to, flashcards are amazing. Moving on to number three, which is to nail exams in a formal course. If you're in a formal course that tests your explicit vocabulary and you also care about your grades, flashcards are great. You don't need to rely on flashcards to learn everything, but since you will probably know the format of the exam in advance, you can use flashcards to make sure you know 90% maybe of the vocabulary overall, and then just right before the exam, you do some cramming to get to 100% if you want to do that. And this does not take nearly as much time or effort as it would using any other method. Now, the obvious caveat here is that a course that focuses a lot on explicit knowledge of, say, vocabulary and grammar maybe isn't the best course, and your goal here is not to actually get good grades. Well, that could be part of your goal, but I assume that you have a more long-term goal, which is to be able to communicate in Chinese and use Chinese for various purposes, and then there is not necessarily a straight correlation between having good grades and being good at using Chinese in the real world. The next situation where you might want to consider using flashcards is if you want to conquer new areas of the language. This is similar to the native speaker going to medical school that I mentioned above, but you can use it for any other purpose and it doesn't have to be that advanced either. Personally, I've used flashcards successfully to engage with new content academically. For example, when I started grad school, I used flashcards to learn all the terminology in phonology and phonetics, for example, because while I could have gotten this through reading and listening, I wanted results very quickly. I wanted to be able to talk about these things in class with my classmates, with my teacher, and so on. And just relying on passive input to get there would take too long. You can also use flashcards to conquer a new area of the language where listening and reading is not very practical. So for example, I used flashcards to learn many of the words I needed to be able to talk about the gymnastics when I practiced that in Taiwan. And while in theory I could have listened to people talk about gymnastics and read about people who practice gymnastics, this type of language is quite rare and it's not at all obvious that this would have been successful. This is particularly important if you're trying to learn language that you encounter infrequently. For example, if I practice gymnastics only once a week, I would forget most of what I learned between each training session, and then it would be kind of useless. But relying on flashcards, I can spend maybe 5 minutes per day and make sure I actually remember the words that people tell me about. So those were four areas where I think it makes sense to seriously consider using flashcards. But as should also be clear by now, you need to integrate flashcards into a learning approach that makes sense overall. The flashcards are just this extra supplement to your diet. It's not meant to replace the diet itself, which is usually the more basic skills, mostly listening and reading. So this leads to a follow-up question. How much of a balanced approach to learning Chinese should consist of flashcards? It's important to highlight that the main problem with flashcards is not that they are bad in themselves, it is that they take up time from other things you could have been doing that would have been more beneficial. So it's an opportunity cost. You will learn some Chinese by using flashcards, but maybe you would have learned more if you used some other method instead. And if you spend all your time in a flashcard app, you miss out on so many other learning opportunities. So to figure out the role of flashcards in your approach to learning Chinese, we do of course need to talk about what you need to do in general to learn the language. What is a good approach? The best framework that I know is Paul Nation's Four Strands, and we talked about that in detail in episode 94, but I will summarize it here briefly. So by zooming out and looking at the overall approach to learning Chinese, we can then also see what role, if any, flashcards should play in this. The four strands in Nation's model are meaning-focused input, so that's listening and reading, meaning-focused output, so that's speaking and writing, language-focused learning, which includes things such as flashcards, studying grammar, pronunciation, and so on, and then finally, fluency development, which essentially means getting better at what you already know through listening, speaking, reading, and writing. Nation proposes a balance between these four, so 25% of your time on each strand. Since using flashcards would count as language-focused learning, that means we now have a cap of 25%. But then there are also many other things that should fit into that category. For example, learning about how to learn Chinese through this podcast or reading on Hacking Chinese, or studying grammar, or studying pronunciation, or doing other things that you might find worthwhile. It could also be argued that this strand should be smaller than this, and there are indeed teachers and researchers who believe that it should be almost zero. Still, I think that adult language learners can benefit quite a lot from language-focused learning, but it should definitely not take up more than 25% of your time, and that means that flashcards maybe can take up 10 or 15% of your time. So let's have a look at the other things you should be doing instead, because if you're relying a lot on flashcards right now, or are considering using flashcards for doing lots of things, you need to be mindful what other things you might be missing out on. And if there's one thing I'm sure about in this whole discussion about flashcards, it is that if you're using flashcards to the point where you're not doing the things that I'm talking about here, you are certainly doing something wrong. We can argue about the percentages all we want, but these are things you absolutely have to do, and they should make up the backbone of any strategy for learning any language, not just Chinese. So the first strand, as I said, is meaning-focused input, and that's when you listen and read with a high level of comprehension with the goal of understanding, and that is as opposed to, say, reading or listening in order to learn new words, grammar, and so on. So listening or reading to things in your textbook probably doesn't count, but a graded reader on the right level might. If you need recommendations for things to listen to or read, regardless of your level of Chinese, I'll put links in the description to two articles where I collect the best reading and listening materials. If there's one of the four strands you really shouldn't skimp on, it's this one, and if I were to do the percentages myself, I would say that this one should get more than 25%, quite a lot more, in fact. The next thing you should be doing is the second strand, meaning-focused output. And this is when you speak and read to communicate using mostly language you already know. This means that vocabulary drills or writing example sentences in your textbook or something like that doesn't count, but that having a conversation about a familiar topic or writing a diary entry does count. Of course, when you interact with people in real life, you don't separate meaning-focused input and output, so a conversation can be meaningful, and then of course you have to listen to what someone says and understand that, so you're focusing on the meaning, and you also have to convey your answers, your opinions and thoughts, and that counts as meaning-focused output. You can do them separately, or you can combine them. Then I'll think we'll jump to the fourth strand, which is fluency development. And that is something we spent the entirety of episode 99 talking about, so I will only summarize it briefly here and then send those of you who want to know more over to episode 99. In essence, fluency development is about getting better and faster at what you already know. And as I've mentioned in this episode and in many episodes before this, especially in the Beyond the Timbodong series, knowing the meaning of a word, be it spoken or written, is not enough. You need to know it quickly and effortlessly, and only if you do that can you actually read and listen. If it takes you 5 seconds to do something, sorry, it's too slow. That means that practicing only the vocabulary, grammar, and so on that you have learned in meaningful contexts is very important. Even if a text has no new word, or if your teacher talks to you using only vocabulary that you have already studied, this is still necessary practice to build this fluency. There is a tendency among some tutors and most textbooks that the students have to learn new words, and if they are not learning lots of new words, they are doing something wrong. And this is just not true. The reason this is a strand on its own, separate from meaning-focused input and meaning-focused output, is that if there are too many unknown words, your fluency development is actually hampered because you're focusing on the wrong thing. You have new words you don't know in the text, or you need to use words you don't know, and that takes away the focus from the fluency practice. In order to get faster, you need to be almost entirely familiar with all the language involved, and this still requires practice. Just to give you a concrete example, if you were to only read the things in a textbook, you are almost never doing fluency development at all, because every single text includes lots of new words and lots of new grammar and so on. And that also results in difficult text and you can't read a lot. You never get to extensive reading, which is the actual goal. Okay, so let's see what we have so far. We have one strand making up no more than 25% of your time. that fits many things beyond flashcards, limiting flashcards to maybe 10 or 15% of your total study time. And of course, this can vary over time depending on your needs, but I think that's a good ballpark percentage. We have also looked at areas you can apply flashcards to, and then depending on how much time this takes, you can choose one or several of these. Or choose something else that is important to you, but I haven't mentioned. One downside with flashcards that I didn't mention in the previous episode in this series is that some people find them mind-numbingly boring. And I didn't bring that up because it's very subjective and it's just different. Some people like fiddling with flashcards, and other people just can't stand it. However, this is potentially very important for your use of flashcards to learn Chinese. If you think flashcards are quite okay, you can use them for all the things that I mentioned if you have the time. But if you really hate flashcards, you need to think twice before doing that. Because no method is good if you end up not using it. Or if you hate using it and thereby feel demotivated and don't want to learn Chinese, then that's a clear problem. The best advice I can offer here is to take the magnitude of your like or dislike for flashcards into account and then compare that to the effectiveness of flashcards. So in practice, if you really don't like flashcards, then be very careful and only use flashcards when it's really necessary and where they have the absolute biggest benefit. But if you're more okay with flashcards, you can consider using them for all the areas that I mentioned earlier in this episode. This is a problem we did discuss in episode 137, which was about should you use an efficient method for learning Chinese even if you hate it. So it's time to wrap up this episode that's meant to wrap up the whole series. And we'll do that by going through 8 steps you can take to figure out what you want to do with flashcards. And number 1 is to consider why you are learning Chinese, both in the short and long term. Then number 2, write down what knowledge, skills, and abilities you need to reach your goal. Then number 3, compare your list with the 4 strands mentioned earlier in this episode and in episode 94. And make sure everything is covered. Then, step 4, look at my list of suggested uses for flashcards and evaluate each one, based, of course, on your situation and your goals. And then, step 5, note which uses flashcards might have in your overall learning strategy. Now you should have a fairly clear idea of where you're heading and the role of flashcards in the strategy you will use to get there. So it's time to get even more concrete. So step 6 is to try different apps and see how well they align with your strategy. Then step 7, when you're already using flashcards, be mindful to not use flashcards too much. They have benefits, but they also have lots of downsides, as we have discussed in this series. And then step 8, keep updating how you use flashcards as your level increases and your situation changes. Maybe you shouldn't do this every week or every month, but now and then it's good to re-evaluate your strategy and your approach in general, and this does change with level quite a lot. I relied a lot on flashcards during certain periods in my Chinese language learning journey, but I don't use them that much these days, and there is a reason for that. What I want to say is that your analysis of your situation and the value of flashcards will change, and so it makes sense to then also change your approach. So that's it for this episode and this series. I think different listeners will come to different conclusions regarding these things, but I do hope that I've given you a lot of food for thought and also concrete steps for evaluating your situation and deciding what, if anything, to use flashcards for. Some of you will conclude that extensive reading and listening is better than flashcards, which is great. And others will stick to using flashcards for specific purposes, maybe to make sure you get the grade you want or to make sure you remember how to write characters by hand, and that's fine too. If you are relying much more on flashcards than I have recommended in this series, that doesn't necessarily mean you're doing something wrong, but I do hope that I have given you the tools to answer that question yourself. If you have listened this far, I would be delighted to hear your opinion about flashcards. What conclusions have you come to, maybe before listening to this, maybe if you changed your mind after listening to my discussion about it. Regardless of which, please head over to Hacking Chinese and leave a comment. Thank you for tuning in to the Hacking Chinese podcast. If you like this episode, please share it. More information and inspiration about learning and teaching Chinese can be found at hackingchinese.com. See you in the next episode, and until then, good luck with your studies!